We are glad you are here. We don't really know who you all are exactly, but it looks like you've found a way to find your way to a seat, which is great. We just click on one of the seats, and that's a good way to sit down here in Second Life, up in the corner. A couple of you look very similar. You can always click on the little t-shirt in the left tab, and you can find some different things to wear if you are so inclined. We're very, very happy to have you all here this evening. This is a ongoing monthly series of virtual happy hours for minority medical students. Our intention for this project is to provide as much support and tangible tools to making that very intense journey of medical school as rich and accessible and successful as possible. This project is really supported by the Society of Teachers of Family Medicine Foundation. We are supported by Boston University School of Medicine, who has shared with us this very beautiful amphitheater setting at the edge of the sea. We run the program out of White Memorial Medical Center Family Medicine Residency in Los Angeles. I'm Jeff Ring, psychologist and director of behavioral sciences and cultural medicine. To my left in the green shirt is Pam, our amazing tech wizard who really helps make all of this possible. If you have any questions at any point, you can just hit the speak button on the bottom left corner and you'll be able to speak. You can click the chat button in the bottom left corner and write something. In fact, why don't we all hit chat right now and just write good evening or hello, just to get a little practice on that. Well, very good. Another really important thing to do is to find a way to sort of connect with each other. So if you move your cursor over someone and then right-click, you'll get a little menu, and you'll see that one of them is Add Them as a Friend. So just click on Add as a Friend. Would you be my friend? And then you just click on the text line and OK, and an invitation for friendship will be sent. It's a nice way for us to sort of all be connected. We can find each other in Second Life as well. So let's see. I'm going to add you as a friend as well. We are very, very fortunate tonight to take on an essential challenge issue for medical students, and that is preparing for those standardized exams. Everyone's been through this and will continue to go through this, maybe all of our lives. And so tonight, we really have the opportunity to sort of hear from some very wise souls about some very important strategies for approaching these potential roadblocks. We have with us Dr. Bras, Dr. Dragna, and Dr. Kulkami. I will let them introduce themselves fully, and with that, I will pass the baton to all of you. Thank you so much.
Good evening. I'm so glad everyone's here tonight. Can you all hear me okay?
You bet.
Very good. We are all from the University of Colorado Family Medicine Residency. I'm Dr. Mike Bras, associate professor. To my left is Joe Adragna, second-year family medicine resident. And to his left is Mukthi Kulkarni, second-year family medicine resident. I believe Joe and Mukthi can add a lot of wisdom to this process, for they've been through it very recently. Next slide, please. I'd like to show you this picture of D-Day. This was a huge event in our history. This took months and months of preparation and planning before we embarked on this endeavor. And you can see the troops about to hit the beach. Next slide. From the next slide, you can tell that they're entering the water. They probably encountered obstacles such as sniper fire, booby traps, actually having to swim at times, a lot of things, and they had to be prepared for these obstacles. Fortunately, there was a great deal of training and preparation looking at all of these contingencies, and as most of you know, they prevailed in this huge battle. I'd like you to think of your future preparing for a standardized test as preparing for your D-Day. If you prepare, if you get ready, if you do simulated exercises, take the time to go through and all the contingencies you may encounter, you'll be much better prepared and much more likely to succeed. Next slide. Mukti?
Thanks, Dr. Brown. So, forgive me for starting out something so basic, but I don't think we can talk about approach to test taking without mentioning the time factor. The time is a major consideration for any test, both in terms of the time needed for preparation and studying, and also in terms of getting a test and taking the test within the allotted amount of time. So when it comes to studying for a big board exam, both of these things take a lot of endurance. So be sure to make a schedule to help direct your studying, knowing that you may need to rework it and make it more doable once you start studying and figuring out what's realistic. And of course...
excuse me for interrupting. This is Jeff. If you could just speak a little bit louder and closer into your microphone, that will help all of us hear you a little better.
Can you hear me better now?
That does help. And if you can even get it closer, the better that will be too. And we can turn up the volume on our sets as well. So no worries. Sorry for the interruption.
Oh, no problem. Should I start over?
No, you're good. You're good.
Okay.
Also, let me say one thing. You can turn up the volume for anybody by rolling. If you put your cursor over the person that's talking and the little eye comes up in a green circle, and you can click on that and you get actually a volume control in a little box that comes up, and you can make someone louder that way.
All right, thank you. So I'm saying be sure to make a schedule to help direct your studying, knowing that you may need to rework it to make it more doable once you start studying and figuring out what's realistic. And of course, practice tests are the best way to help figure out how to pace yourself. Next slide. So, while you're preparing, be sure to make good use of the resources available to you. This includes upperclassmen, the med school library, certain websites. These are all great ways to help guide your study plan. When it comes to taking the USMLE, there are a lot of good reference books out there that summarize material, but I would encourage you to use these just as references and really direct your studying by doing practice questions. The amount of material covered on these tests is so large that reading through the material without questions to direct and kind of focus your learning is not going to be very efficient. Also, the most frequently used question bank is USMLE World, but there are others out there and they all have good explanations that go along with each question. The other important thing you should use these resources for is to familiarize yourself of the structure of the test. For example, find out if you'll be penalized for guessing. Will you be able to go back and answer questions from past sections? So you want to make sure you set yourself up with the best strategy going into the test. And then finally, the other big part of preparation that I want to talk about is finding a good study environment. So use your past test-taking experiences here to guide you. Some people like to study in quiet corners of the library, while other people like busy coffee shops. So just find a good place that you can rely on to be there to accommodate your study routine. Also, think about whether you're someone who likes to study around other classmates or is that going to distract and stress you out? You may find that you do better distance to yourself from other people, but even if you're not someone who likes to study around others, it would be a good idea to find a study buddy or an accountability buddy. Not necessarily someone that you study with, but someone that you check in with at intervals to make sure you're staying on track, and someone that you can talk through areas that may be confusing. And remember that the best way to really learn something is to have to teach it to someone else. So with that, I'm going to move you off to Joe Dragner, who's going to talk to you about his story.
Can we go to the next slide, please? Well, hello everybody. Glad to be here. Thanks for inviting me. I'm going to give you guys my experience when preparing for the MCAT, because it will highlight many of the points we were making today. All of you have taken the MCAT and can probably recall what it was like. When I took the MCAT for the first time, I received a score that was the median matriculation score for the country. It was 28. But the medical school that I wanted to attend had a median matriculation score of 33. So I knew I'd have to do a little bit better to increase my chances of getting in. I still had 1 year left before I had to apply, and I was confident I could change my score. The fortunate thing about having the MCAT score early in my pre-medical career is that it showed me what my weaknesses were, because the score is broken down by categories. I set out to attack my weak points, and I did this by creating a structured, time-based plan using the resources Dr. Kulkarni just outlined. I had 1 year to prepare, and I made sure to accomplish my goal of getting through a particular amount of material that was recommended by professionals in the field of MCAT preparation. I predominantly utilized review books, textbooks, and MCAT prep CDs when driving in the car. Yes, this was before MP3 was popular. As I went along, I created a review sheet, and on this review sheet, I listed key points that I was learning and studying so that I could remind myself every once in a while about the important information that I wanted to have fresh in mind on the day of the test. The day before the exam, I relaxed, I had fun, and as I laid down to go to bed that night, I read through the review sheet one last time. The next day, I took the MCAT, and my score improved by 7 points to 35, and I got into the medical school of my choice. Next slide, please.
I want you now to think about stress. Stress can both be good or bad. Next slide, please. This slide is kind of humorous, but it illustrates how high stress can get us completely on edge. This young woman's hair sticking straight out. She's overwhelmed. She's anxious. When people have this high level of stress, it impairs performance. It makes it much harder to think, to go through problems clearly, to put forth the full effort. Next slide. If high stress continues, it will exhaust us, it will be overwhelming, and lead to frustration and often poor performance. So what can we do? What can we do to improve our performance with stress? Next slide, please. I want you to look at this gentleman closely. He is totally focused on hitting this baseball. You can tell that he has worked at long time at this exercise. He's on it. He's going to hit this baseball. He's confident. He feels good about it. He's using his stress to perform at a higher level. Now, how did he get to this point of being so focused, so effective, and able to hit this baseball? Next slide. This is a picture of baseball players stretching, mentally preparing for a game, going through the pregame rituals again and again and again. Next slide. This is a picture of baseball players going through drills. If they go through the drill again and again about how you pivot, how you throw the baseball, how you position yourself, then when they get in a game, they can perform at a high level. This does not come automatically. This comes with practice, 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 and much repetition. I want you to use these skills like these baseball players. Think ahead to what you'll be facing. Find some standardized exams, some old exams. Start practicing, going through these questions again and again. With practice, you'll find you'll decrease your stress level, be able to use your stress to your advantage, and perform at a higher level. Next slide.
So, planning is something that I'm very familiar with. It got me through a lot of school tests throughout the year. However, the tests that you take in medical school and board exams specifically require a little bit of a different strategy. For one thing, these tests are designed to prepare you for your career. So unlike calculus, for example, it's much more important to retain that knowledge. Also, just the sheer breadth and depth of information covered on board exams does not lend itself to other planning. Next slide. So cramming can work if you have a smaller amount of material and you just need to memorize and regurgitate. But then you're going to forget everything, and that's not a good way to prepare yourself for a lifetime of caring for other people's health and well-being. You're also physically not going to be able to cram in the amount of information covered on a board exam. So I'd encourage you to learn from my mistakes, really pace yourself, and use the techniques that Dr. Goff has been talking about and will continue to talk to you about shortly to set yourself up for success. Next slide.
So preparing for standardized exams is a marathon, not a sprint. And anyone who has run a marathon knows there's a point in the run where you hit a wall. What you do when this happens will dictate the outcome. For me, in my typical analytical ways, I create an Excel spreadsheet for my Step 2 preparation. That's the USMLE Licensing Exam 2 that you guys may have already completed. Every couple of days, I would take a practice test, and on the Excel spreadsheet, I would mark my score for the various categories. I also utilized a question bank that Dr. Kulkarni was discussing earlier that broke my score down by categories as well. So using both my Excel spreadsheet and my question bank data output, I had near real-time feedback on my study success. The question always being, when will I hit that wall? When will I get tired and stuck? For most people preparing for step two, it's after about 2 to 3 weeks the score begins to plateau. And this happened to me too. So what do you do in this case? Just like in the photograph on this slide, you get help. It is always okay to change up the plan of attack that you initially made. This is just one road bump on your journey becoming a physician. For me, I changed around my strategy just a bit, and I also took an extra day to relax and have some personal time. I came back to the task with new energy and a new plan. I was no longer tired or stuck. My scores went up from there. Next slide, please.
Thank you. This slide illustrates the importance of rest. Most of us don't think much about rest, but rest has remarkable effects on our brain. When we rest, it enables our brain to clear out extraneous, confusing information, to solidify what we've learned. Also, when we rest, we can learn new material much better. They found that even simple strategies like an afternoon nap can improve performance markedly. So don't be scared to take that afternoon nap. Study some more in the evening, and be sure you get plenty of sleep. You will awaken refreshed and much better able to learn the next day. So don't skimp on your rest. Next slide, please. The next slide emphasizes the importance of exercise. We all think of exercise as improving our physical performance, but it also improves our mental performance. When we exercise, we get more blood to the brain, we think more clearly, and we also able to rejuvenate by exercise. I encourage you to continue exercise that you enjoy, like playing tennis. Next slide. Example like yoga is excellent. It's relaxing. It improves your flexibility, improves your strength, and it's a group activity that can be rejuvenating. Or next slide. This illustrates running. Running on a beautiful fall day or spring day can be a pleasant experience and again, help your studying. So don't forget to exercise as you prepare for this test. It'll not only be enjoyable and help your journey, that'll also help your performance. Next slide.
So at this point, we've reviewed the importance of preparation, the importance of time management, and what kind of resources you have available to you and where you can find these. We've shared personal stories about our experiences and we've prepared for standardized exams, and we've talked about how stress can be good or bad and how you can focus your stress in healthy ways to accomplish your goals. We've also addressed some of the pitfalls that occur in preparation, like cramming, memorization, and regurgitation, feeling tired and stuck, and the importance of rest and exercise. And now I make a call to action. All of you here are in medical school and are working hard to achieve your goals. All of you have a standardized exam coming in your near future, be that more U.S. medical licensing exams, in-service exams as a resident, or even specialty board exams. So the time is now to prepare. Gather your resources. Gather the test banks, the books, and the friends that will help you achieve your goal. Create a schedule. Know when your test is and how much time you need to prepare for it. Budget your time to get through the material. And create a review sheet so that you can periodically refresh your memory of important information. Finally, write down on paper when you will start the preparation. And when that time comes, go. Next slide, please. On this final slide, we see a physician and four medical students. Notice anything about the patient? It is a mannequin. Soon enough, you may be the only physician at a patient's bedside in their time of need, and the patient will not be a mannequin. It will be a human being with a history, family, friends, and loved ones. When that time comes, will you be ready to handle this responsibility? The answer is yes, if you prepare for the situation. We've outlined the steps to make you successful. The rest is up to you. Dr. Cross.
Thank you, Joe, and thank you, Muthi. I believe you all enjoyed hearing their comments, and they have recently taken these standardized tests, and they definitely have credibility on this issue. I'd now like to open the discussion up for any questions or comments. We'd love to entertain some other ideas.
I had a question. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you well.
So I'm in medical school. I will go back this Monday, actually, second year. I took a year off, which means that I'm not in my original class, which obviously means that I don't know anyone in the new class I will be joining. So how am I supposed to find a study partner? I do know the advantages of it, but I don't know how to find a study partner in a brand new class.
Would my residents care to comment?
Sure, that's a great question. It's obviously, you know, easier when you are in a class that you have been in for a while, but I also had that experience where I was joining a class that I didn't know. It can actually be a good thing sometimes when you're studying with people who are close friends of yours, who you know well. That doesn't always make for the best study partner. It can lead to a lot of distraction. You will have to reach out a little bit to some of the new people in your class, kind of see whose level of intensity or how laid back they are kind of matches yours and is a good fit for you. And just reach out to them. You don't necessarily have to be good friends with this person. You just have to be able to get in touch with the person and check in once in a while and maybe do a few study sessions together. I don't know if that answers your question completely, but
it does, yeah. It does. Thanks.
Let me add in just a couple points before I have to get back to the wards, guys. So I had a buddy who I went through medical school with, and we studied together on a regular basis. He and I got to the point where we would get the exact same scores on exams, sometimes missing even the exact same questions. It looked a little shady at times, but I assure you we were far apart when we took the exams. But my point is that at some point the return may be diminishing. You need to be challenged, so the study partner needs to bring you up. If you guys are stalling out, it might be time to bring in a third person who maybe can enhance your learning. So you don't have to pick one and then be stuck with that person. It's just fine to kind of test the waters as you move through things. But with that, guys, I've got to get back to the ward, so thanks for having me. Enjoy the rest of the
Joe, time. Can I ask you a really quick question before you leave? And Mukti, too. Without having to, like, do a commercial or anything, but were there any in particular study guides that you found especially helpful that you might want to pass on to the gang here tonight?
Yeah, so my school actually did a lot of study based on the scores that came back on the USMLE exams and surveyed the students about what kind of preparation they did. And what they found was that students who spent the majority of their preparation time using question banks did better than students who utilized textbooks. And so I used USMLE World for Step 1, Step 2, and Step 3. I find it very effective. It has really good explanations to the answers to the questions, and I think that's another key point. It's one thing to do the questions, but you have to read the answers and read why they chose that answer and why not the other ones. That will advance your learning as well.
Beautiful. Thank you very much. Yeah.
I agree with what Joe said for Step 1. I used Kaplan, and I also focused too much on just reading reference books and reading through the material. I didn't get through as many questions as I wanted because I was so focused on reading books. And I also thought that maybe USMLE World, when I used it for Step 2, was a little bit better preparation than Kaplan. When I did it again for Step 2, I really stuck to the USMLE World, reviewed the questions, reviewed why I got things wrong, why I got things right, and that was very helpful in improving my score the second time around.
Really appreciate the frankness of your answers. It's helpful to get that sort of untold story. So. Well, there's a question up for about how long does it take? What's a realistic calendar and prep for Step 2 and Step 3? Any thoughts about that?
I have yet to take Step 3, but for Step 2, I thought somewhere around 3 weeks or so was pretty good. You probably won't need quite as much time as you did for Step 1. You know, this is a very personal thing, and everyone works at a different pace. And it also depends on whether you're, you know, busy with other locations at this time. If you are, you may have to extend your study plan a little bit. But if you're able to really dedicate some time to studying, I think about 3 weeks for most people is pretty good.
I would just add a couple of comments.
Could I say something really fast? Please, this is
yes.
Pam. Mookie, can you step away back from your microphone just a little bit? I don't think we could understand you. Not step back,
is
but
move.
Yeah.
Try it again.
Okay. Sorry about that.
Say a little bit of what you just said again, and let's see if we can hear it better.
Is this positioning okay?
Back it up a little more.
How about this?
Hmm. Yeah. Hard to tell.
Well, I'm hearing okay, actually, Pam. I don't know. But I don't know what other people think.
Well, someone else had said that she was having problems hearing, and I know I was, so I thought that perhaps she was just a little too close to her microphone.
Pam?
Sorry, just stop me if you can't understand me.
So I have a question. So you guys talked about Step 2 and Step 3, but how about Step 1? How far ahead should you start?
So first and second year of med school, we'll cover the information, obviously, that's in Step 1. Some people like to go through a question bank that focuses on Step 1 type questions while they go through each month of the year and cover different subjects.
I'm sorry, can you do that? Actually, I do have the difficulty understanding you. I'm sorry.
Sure. Is this a better position?
Yeah, a little better.
Okay. Sorry, I don't know what the problem with my microphone is. But you can hear me now, okay?
Yes.
Okay. So I was just saying that some people like to use a question bank as they go through the year, first year and second year, so that they can keep studying along with their usual courses. For me, that wasn't really realistic because I already felt like I was so busy with the classes themselves. Our school only gave us about 3 weeks between first and second year.
So I only had 2.5 weeks to study for step one, to really dedicate to studying, and that was not enough time. But I've heard that something around 1 month, if you can really dedicate good time during that month of studying, has been pretty good for most people. You also want to be careful not to give yourself too much dedicated time, because that can, you can start to forget things, you can lose steam, that sort of thing. But it's a little bit of a personal decision.
Thanks.
This is Jeff. I just wanted to add, Go ahead. Go ahead, Michael.
I think one factor probably the students do struggle with is they keep you so busy first and second year in medical school, there's probably not a whole lot of extra time to prepare as you're going through. But if it is a lot of new material to you or material that's challenging, if you can spread out the process a little longer, I think it can be to your benefit. A few years ago, I took a test for advanced qualifications in geriatrics, and there was a very high fail rate nationally reported. So I kind of spread it out, but I had the luxury of time to spend over about 3 months. But if you can spread it out, if it's difficult, tough material for you, I think it can be to your advantage. But I know that medical school does get mighty busy, and that may be difficult at times.
I just wanted to jump off something you said earlier about stress. What we know in the brain is that the amygdala and the hippocampus are nestled right together, and the amygdala, the site of fear and primal emotion, is right next to that very important hippocampus for memory. And so if we are studying in a state of terrible fear and distress, the new memory memories will just not get laid down. And so I think that that's one really important, essential piece of feedback you've offered us tonight, is the importance of finding our best sort of comfort zone in which to do this very challenging learning. Secondly, new learning happens better when it's connected to old learning. So to the degree that like missed questions and new learning is sort of connected to what we already know, or telling yourself a story, a colorful story with this new piece of information, can also help with retention as well. Just a little bit of brain science in the sort of education study area.
The other thing I've heard is using your different senses, like reading about it, hearing about it. If you can, even use other senses, like even a smell, to reinforce a memory about that you're trying to lay down. But that often improves learning. So maybe trying different modalities as you do your studying, talking about it, reading about it, presenting about it, etc.
And that point that Joseph made earlier about getting to the point where you can teach something to a peer is great. That means that you really mastered something. I think that's a great piece of feedback as well. Any other questions from anyone in the room? Anything else you want to know or inquire about?
One thing I'd like to comment on as a teacher, the students and residents that have taken the time to prepare and systematically approach the problem, the vast majority have succeeded. And I want to encourage you, this is well within your reach. If you do prepare, your chance of success goes way up, and you can get past these standardized tests. I know they scare all of us, but if you use that fear to prepare wisely, you can do very well.
Well, thank you, both, all three of you, so much for this very, very helpful, rich conversation. Was this helpful to participants? Do you feel like you got some new stuff that you'll be able to carry with you on this forward journey? Okay. Let me again, thank our presenters so much. Let me thank Pam, our wizard of all things, certainly Boston University School of Medicine, and most importantly, the funders of the project, the Society of Teachers of Family Medicine Foundation. As we always do, I want to, one, make the announcement that next month we will be meeting and looking at the challenge of writing a personal statement in applications for residency. You can always find all the information about our project at culturalmedicinetraining.org. You've all been there to get installed in this program. Please help us spread the word. If you have colleagues that, or you know of minority student organizations that we can send information to, please let us know so that we can really continue to spread the word. And as we always do, we end our sessions with a little bit of a dance party. So if you'll stand up and follow me to this corner over here.
May I say something again, please?
Of course, Pam.
I have put together a survey on SurveyMonkey specifically for students to get some feedback about this venue or these sessions in this venue, and I will send you that link. I may have sent it to you before. I'd love to have you fill it out again or the first time. Look for an email from me with a link to a SurveyMonkey survey for the virtual app happy hour. Thank you.
Thank you, Pam. Appreciate it. In order to get on the dance floor over here, you'll see this jukebox. You just come over to the corner and you click on the jukebox, and a little menu will pop up. And you just choose any number you like, and that will be, then it will ask if you really want to do that dance, and you'll start moving. So have some fun. Welcome. Part of, I guess, the stress reduction part, right? Along with yoga and others. There you go, Pam. Very solid moves.
We just need some actual music, too.
that's the missing piece. We need to get a little...
I believe we do. Yeah.
That's you can do a lot of stuff in Second Life, and there should be a way to do that. I'll have to do some research. Very cool. Let's see. Disco.
Pretty fun. All right.
Mukti, are you okay? Are you stuck in the corner? Do you need some help getting over here? Are you? Oh, there you go. Good. You got it. Very nice. Something else that you might want to do is while you're dancing, you can also hit walk, run, fly. And if you click on the box on the right, you can dance and fly a little bit. Just be sure you don't fly away, because flying is really fast and you can get very lost, your avatar. So it's kind of fun to dance and fly at the same time. Swoop around a little bit.
Don't forget to set a landmark this place under World at the top of the screen. The first menu item is Landmark This Place, and when you do that, you will be able to come back here easily.
Very good.
Thanks for having us here.
Oh, we are so happy to have you all here, and we're so happy to have our keep doing this project. It's a labor of love. It's not always easy to get into Second Life, it turns out. There's a few little technical barriers, but once you're in, boy, you can fly. How great is that? Pretty cool. Swoop around.
Nice move, Dr. Brown.
Thanks, Fuki. All right.
Yeah, good point. Step two before match is very important. Thank you for making that.
Yeah, I'm glad my residents participated. They had a lot of good points.
It was a nice team effort. I appreciate that. It's great.
Thanks.
So, which of you is the one that's starting Monday? Who's starting Monday back into class? I thought one of you said you were beginning back.
Starting the second year, I think.
It's going to be a journey. All right. Well, I actually am going to excuse myself. I have two kids here who are clamoring for dinner, so I'm going to work on that project. But again, thank you all very, very much for being here tonight. Best of luck on your exams. Any and all feedback about this project, we're always happy to hear from it. It's a pleasure working together. We'll be together next month.
Well, thank you, Jeff, for inviting us. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you all. Good night. Bye, Pam. I'll see you soon.
Yes.
Thank you. Good night.
Night.
Good night.
Oh, to stop dancing, by the way, to stop dancing, you just click on the jukebox, and then you'll get the menu, and you can push stop, and you decide, yes, I'm ready to stop. And how come I haven't stopped yet?
You have to accept stopping.
There we go. All right. That's the end of my dancing. Okay. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
We'll see you soon. Ciao.